did, Almighty Father. You are excellent. You are perfect. There's none like you, O God. We thank you very much, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to be in your presence this morning. And we ask, Lord, God Almighty, that you will minister to our hearts, that our lives will not remain the same. We give you all the glory, for in Jesus' name we pray. Please, let's be seated. Good morning. Church, I say good morning. I want to tell you a story. Several years ago, I was working, a young man working, and I was comfortable. And then, after a while, I felt I needed to just try my luck and move forward. So, I put my CVs together, very rich, very robust, and then I applied to some places. Fortunately for me, or unfortunately, I had someone who knew a very top man in one organization, one bank. And then he dropped my CV. So I went on holiday one day, and I was called. Come for interview. My God. I came down for the interview, and then you needed to see my briefcase that day. You will love me. Fine briefcase, well suited and everything, and then I was called for the interview. So I saw the panel of interviewers. And then they looked at my CV, very robust, very rich, and they picked one aspect of the CV that I never did. I had never attended it, but it was in my CV. And then they took me on that. And then, you know, I was just a low-level officer, and then I was now moving to become a middle-level manager. And then the man asked me, this question has about 5 or 6 answers. So he asked me the question. And then I was scratching my head. No idea. No clue. So I said, and then the man gave me the answer number 1. I was still scratching my head. Oh my God, my God. He gave me number 2. I was saying, oh God, as if something happened to my head. He gave me number 3. You know, a reasonable person, if you know something, and they give you a clue, you pick it up from there. By the time they were giving number 4, I felt like vomiting. I felt like the ground should open and just swallow me up. And then they said, this guy does not know anything. He's at that panel. And then one of them looked at me and said, what do you expect? These people that will just cheat in school. That they will just cheat in their exams. And I had that comment. I didn't know what to do. Whether to just pick my bag and run away, I didn't know. So, they picked me on again. Asked another question in an area again that is exclusive reserve of the head office that I had never worked. Something that has to do with stock exchange that time. When he was asking, I was just looking at them. I didn't bother to answer. I didn't bother to respond to them again. So when they saw my countenance or my disposition that I wasn't talking, one of them said, see embarrassment. One of them said, gentlemen, ask yourself a question and answer it. So I looked at myself. I said, no question. They said, so what do you... And the person that put my name was their boss. They could not deny him. So he asked me, they asked me, so what will you do? I said, I thank you, gentlemen. I said, I know what I have done. Please have mercy. But I'm leaving. I'm not taking your job. Thank you. I left. So I took my car. I have a small 504 that time. I drove to the man that helped me. I said, sir, God will bless you for your help. I said, but I've embarrassed you. I've disgraced you. Please forgive me. It will not happen again. He said, how? I said, sir, don't just forget. So I left it. And then, you know, that same CV had been dropped. I think about 2 weeks later, I got another call from another bank. So I went for this other interview. You know, I was already wounded. So I went for this other one. This one, they were asking me questions, I was giving them. Asking me questions, I was giving them. Asking me questions. You see, it got to a point that the question, when I answered their question, I would go back to those ones that I was embarrassed, that they did not ask. I will find a way of bringing it to the table. I will answer it again. So, that same CV, the man now looked at me. I mean, I didn't have you now, this other bank. They said, we said it. When you see a man's CV, you know the stuff is made of. And I looked at myself, you don't know nothing. So, of course, I got the job, but I didn't go because of some logistics. I didn't go to that place. And then I looked at my life. Same me, same school, same certificate, same profile, same CV. I was thoroughly disgraced somewhere because of incompetencies, because of my shoddy way of preparation. And then I went to this other place and I did extremely well. And since that day, it stuck with me. And so today, we want to talk about, what we are discussing today is from mediocrity to excellence. Mediocrity to excellence. I know someone in this church that is always given a job, his job, several times to a particular Muslim guy. The reason is that this particular Muslim guy has been so excellent. And last week we were discussing and he told me, I always give this guy, but I've tried to see what I could do with some other my brethren, but they've not been able to perform well. So that Muslim always gets that. Let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 5. I will just read verse 5 and 6. And I will read from Message version. Now, here is what I want to do. Build a temple in honor of God. My God, following the promise that God gave to David, my father, namely, your son, whom I will provide to succeed you as king, he will build a house in my honor. And here is how you can help. Now, this was Solomon writing to Hiram, the king of Tyre. Verse 6, he says, give others for cedars to be cut from the Lebanon forest. My loggers will work alongside yours, and I'll pay your men whatever wage you set. Whatever wage you set. We both know that there's no one like you, Sidonians, for cutting timber. Please note that. We both know that there's no one like you, Sidonians, for cutting timbers. Now, this was a king, a great king, trying to do something fantastic that has never been done. This was going to be a job that was so fantastic. Now, even the log, the wood, the timber that they needed, he had to go to sort it internationally. And then, while doing this, he confessed that we both know, King, that yes, I have my own people, but we both know that you people are better than me. You know, I mentioned my brother. He will know. When you see somebody who is good, you will know. No sentiment when you get to some level. My brother that I mentioned would not use sentiment when he got to that business because it will fumble. It will affect him. When Solomon was going to build now, he needed somebody. He needed the people who will do the right thing and give him the best. Have you asked, why is it that many of our products in Nigeria are not exportable? Why? Have you asked why many organizations or industries that are foreign, that are working in Nigeria, are having the best of the business? Why is it that we cannot compete favorably with them? Why do you prefer to import, or you prefer imported products to locally made? Why? It is because you look at the both, and then you see some value added that you think is better than what you can get locally. Now, let's look. Okay, example in the Bible. You know, I said from mediocrity to excellence. Now, if you look at Mark chapter 8, Jesus healing a blind man. That time Jesus put spit on the man's eyes and laid hand on him. Jesus asked the man if he saw anything, and the man said, I see men like trees walking. Then Jesus touched him again. He was able to see, his sight restored, and he saw everyone clearly. Now note, Jesus didn't leave the blind man after the first touch. He didn't leave him. The Bible said Jesus touched him again to see clearly. Jesus was a leader of excellence. Leaders are not afraid of a second touch. Excellent people are not afraid of a second touch. The second touch can correct what the first touch couldn't do. Now, don't forget, I went for my interview. My first touch was very bad. It was a disaster. But to the glory of God, I took a second touch. Jesus could have told the man, just be glad you can see. And the man could see. He wasn't seeing before. If Jesus Christ had stopped at that point, Jesus Christ today, as I'm talking, would have been regarded as a mediocre. He would have been regarded as a mediocre. But no. He didn't stop there because he wanted perfection. He touched him again. Jesus did not settle for good enough. He wanted the man's vision to be restored fully. So what is mediocrity? It's the quality of being not very good. Pastor Olumide Ramola mentioned it. Being not very good. Ordinariness. Lack of inspiration. Amateurism. Nonentity. Lightweight. Undistinguished. You see some people, you say, distinguished man. But you see some people, they are undistinguished. Nothing spectacular about them. Pedestrian. Low quality. Second rate. Meager. Mediocrity is performing the minimum requirement of our job. Excellence is going above beyond what is required to serve our supervisors in unexpected days. You go higher than the ordinary. You see, a mediocre is a person that is not very good at something or anything in particular. That is not what God has called us to be. A French essayist, Joseph Juva, said, and he wrote, mediocrity is excellent to the highest of mediocre people. Why do we enjoy, and people look at you, they know that you are just average. You are just average. But you see a mediocre, we always think that that is the best. They are just comfortable in ordinary. That is not what God has called us to do or to be. Now, let's look at traits of a mediocre or habits of mediocre. Number one, they don't take initiative. They don't. So if you sit down here, you call yourself a Christian, look at some of these things. They don't take initiative. They procrastinate a lot and won't initiate change or improvement. Rather, they wait for someone to direct them. You remember the man at the pool of Bethesda? That blind man. I mean, that paralyzed man. The Bible said he was there. Jesus Christ even appeared to him. What do you want to do? I mean, what? He said, I have nobody. That man was there for 38 years. He was down for 38 years because he lacked initiative. Even when Jesus saw him, he couldn't even ask, please, can you help me? Can you please throw me into this water? He had no idea of what to do to make success of his life. And do you remember in Luke chapter 5, 18 and 19, you saw some young men, they carried their own friend who was paralyzed, and then people were pressing on Jesus Christ. They didn't have a way of getting through to him. They used their initiative. They went to the roof. They removed it. Those are the people that will not stay or stay at that point of mediocrity. Those guys took initiative. So I will ask you again, do you take initiative to be creative? Even if it means extra work for you in order to accomplish an important task, do you take initiative? Or you are just somebody who will just wait to be led? Number two, they blame others. Pastor Damola said it. They blame others. When something goes wrong, mediocre people find who to blame. It's never their fault. Never. Even some mediocres are leaders. They lead other people. When things don't go well, they continue to give excuses. They will continue to, I am right. It is those people. It is these people. It is excuses galore. Remember Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3, verses 11 to 13. The Bible says, and the Lord God said, who told you that you were naked? Did you eat from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? The man said, please note, the man said, the woman whom you gave me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it. Was that the question? Did you eat? Said the woman you gave me. And then, so the Lord God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman replied, the serpent tricked me and I ate. Mediocrity. Mediocrity. They blame others. So, if you're a Christian and that is your style, now you know where you are. That is not what God has called us to be. You see, another thing is that they don't learn anything new. They don't. People comfortable with mediocrity are afraid to learn new skills or new processes. Admitting they need training or knowledge means admitting to shortcomings and weaknesses. Matthew 25, 24 and 27, Brother Amola mentioned it, the talent. The man with one talent, they gave him a talent, he did not learn how to do anything with that one talent, he just buried it. That is the style and story of mediocres. That is what they do. They don't trade with what they have. They don't task their brain to see what they can. Many of us are complaining. Yes, the economy is bad. But do you know? I think there was a pastor that mentioned here before that, especially for young people, that you are here, you said there's no work and all that. He said, if I were you, that time he said it, that if I were you, and I know that I have a couple of people that I can talk to, I'll become an emergency marketer. I can go to Reverend again and say, let me be selling doors, ties, and everything for you. And then you sell and you get commission. That is using using your initiative. That is also learning something new. Those are the people that are not mediocres. But many of us, what we do is just complain and complain. No new idea. Nothing that we will do. In a nutshell, with mediocrity, anything goes. It is a spirit of just average or less. They are risk averse, no attention to details, they are excuse givers, and they are okay with the status quo. May the Lord deliver us from such, in Jesus' name. You see, good is enemy of better. Don't stay at that level of is good. It's average. No, God has not called us into that. When you talk about excellence, on the other hand, is the quality of being outstanding or extremely good. It is distinction, high quality, superiority, brilliance, greatness, merit. In other words, excellence is striving for the best. Striving for the best. Proverbs 22:29 says, observe people who are good at their work. Skilled workers are always in demand and admired. They don't take a back seat to anyone. That's the word of God. Message version. Observe people who are good at their work. Skilled workers are always in demand and admired. They don't take a back seat to anyone. Remember what happened in our text? When Solomon said, I know, we both know, that you are better. I would rather trade my people for excellence. I want what you have. I would rather let my people stay. In 2 Chronicles chapter 2, Solomon gave orders to begin construction on the house of worship in honor of God and a palace for himself. He assigned 70,000 common laborers. 70,000. See that kind of work. 70,000 common laborers. 80,000 to work the quarries in the mountains. 80,000. That's 150 already. Then 3,600 or 3,600 foremen men to manage the workforce. Those are the people, unit S, to manage that workforce. See that kind of, what kind of construction company is that one? What kind of construction job is that? Even when they were building Aso Rock, I don't think they had that kind of capacity. Now, then Solomon sent this message to King Hiram, send me cedar logs and all that. Now, look at the response, what King Hiram now did. Verse 11, it says, Hiram, king of Tyre, wrote Solomon in reply. It's plain that God loves his people. He made you king over them. In verse 13, he said, I've sent you, Huram Abi. He's already on his way. He knows the construction business inside and out. His mother is from Dan and his father from Tyre. He knows how to work in gold, silver, bronze, iron, stone, and wood. In purple, violet, linen, and crimson textiles. He's also an expert engraver and competent to work out designs with your artists and architects and those of my master David, your father. Now look at that guy. Look at that guy from another place. David took his own people, 70,000, 80,000, 3,600 together. And then look at this man. The king sent him. And to become what? To be their boss. Excellence. 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 The Bible says, see thou a man diligent in his work. He will stand before kings, not mere men. So what are those, the keys of excellence? Because I need to start rounding up. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 to 10 says, go to the hand, you sluggard. Observe its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler. Yet it prepares its food in the summer. It gathers at the harvest what it will eat. How long, you sluggard, will you lie there? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber. A little folding of the hands to relax. Let me stop there. Now, look at those, the hands. No leader, no ruler, no king, no father to say, this father. Like some of us will continue to complain. But the ant here did not complain. He moved, he didn't stay at the point of a mediocre. Where it will be complained. We don't have king, so we don't have leader, so we don't have this. So. No, the hand did not stop there. The hand took responsibility. The hand took responsibility. That yes, we don't have a king. Yes, I don't have a father to pay my school fees. Yet, I was not sent to school. Yet, there are no people around me to help my business. Yet, I have proposal, nobody to give me money. They didn't stay at that. They took charge of their lives. They took responsibility for their lives. And they pressed on. And then, there was planning. There was foresight. The hand prepared for the rainy day. Meticulous, diligent. So, anyway, if you look at I'll just mention some things and you know that all of them are embedded in what the hand did. I said, climbing the ladder of excellence. In summary now, you have a clear vision. You know, when the reverend started with us, he talked about vision. Without vision, people perish. Many Christians today have no vision. And when you have no vision, you just keep moving. Everywhere life takes you, you go. When you have vision, and there's something you want to achieve, you will work at it. You will ensure, because you want to get to a particular level, you will do everything. As a matter of fact, a man of vision will move from mediocrity to excellence. That is what will be the ultimate goal. You will progress to excellence. So you have a clear vision and be committed to it. You learn. Study. You have to study yourself to show yourself approved unto God. They are accountable. Accountability. That is, they take responsibility. That is ownership mentality. Friends, enough of excuses. The prodigal son in the Bible, after a while, he didn't give an excuse again. He had messed up. But the guy turned back. He said, now is time. I'll take responsibility for my mistakes. I'll go back to my father. What mistakes have you made? Take responsibility. Change your focus. Change your life and move on. God is still waiting for you. Don't forget, his father was waiting. And the moment he came, he embraced him. God is waiting for you in the road of excellence. He's waiting to take you to where you are supposed to be. You might have made mistakes. Life may have entrusted some things on you or dropped some things on you. No, forget it. If you can go to the Father, if you can re-strategize, if you can replan, God is always waiting to help you navigate. Avoid mediocrity effects and be self-motivated. Then, I want to say this because it is important. Pay attention to details. One of the reasons people don't like our local things is because we lack attention to details. Even farm products or farm produce, when you want to export, they will reject it. We don't even have a good way of packaging our things. You give clothes to a tailor and then the line is never straight. These days, we in the construction industry, you want to do tiling, you go for these Cotonou boys. Because they are better. Artisan. Artisan, you go to a foreign land to get artisan to work. You want to fix your bathroom and all of that, all these tiles, and then you are looking for somebody who could do it well. You go for a foreigner. Who has bewitched us? Why are we embracing mediocrity as if it's our way of life? Why are we agreed to stay at the ordinary? Why can't we aspire to be extraordinary? When you are paying attention to details, ask some questions. Is this, when you have done something, is this finished? Have I finished this thing? Look at it. Can more be added? Can something be taken away? Did I give it my all? Will God be pleased with this? Am I honestly pleased with this? Praise the Lord. I want to stop it there. Daniel was a man of excellence. And we all know. But on this final note, brethren, being excellent is representing God appropriately. Because God is excellent. Psalm 148 verse 13 says, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. That is who God is. Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before people, so that they can see your good deeds and give honor to your Father in heaven. When you live a life of excellence, you give honor to God. So, friends, I leave you with this. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. It says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy mind. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where they are, thou goest. May the Lord help us. May God move us away from mediocrity. May we move to that level of excellence. And may God reward us abundantly in the name of Jesus Christ. God bless you. God bless you.